Good morning. Got a nice crowd here. We thank those that are visiting with us to join with us at the worship service. We also thank our people that are listening to us on a live stream, Facebook, and whatever else they're using to listen to us. Now, the lesson I'm presenting, I'll just warn you, for those that don't know me, when I give a sermon, I usually include a lot of scripture. So there will be a lot of scripture reading in this one. And the lesson is going to be about Abraham and lessons from his life. And I want to start off by reading Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5, and it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and him that dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan." So we see here that it was God's plan to bless and redeem the world through a chosen people. And again, reading this first few verses where God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to him and told him that he needed to go to another land, and he'll make a great nation out of Abraham, and he will be a great blessing. Can you imagine being asked by God, and of course by God, well, one thing I want to make sure everybody remembers, Abraham had great faith. He was a father of faith. And can you imagine, though, that would you have the faith if somebody asked you to move to another place where you didn't even know where it was, would you do it? But Abraham didn't hesitate. You look in the scriptures, you didn't see any hesitation from him. He was okay with that. And in that scripture reading where God said, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, all the families in the earth will be blessed. He was referring to the coming of Christ. And that brings us to Galatians 3:16. And it says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring." It does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but to referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. So here, when we read this, it tells us that he was promised, God promised him that he would have a son, and it would be a special offspring, which of course is going to end up being Christ. So from Abraham came the Jews, and then came the law and the prophets, and after them came Christ, and through him, his church. Let's look at John 8, verse 56. And it says, "Jesus said to the Jews of his day, 'Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad.'" So here, Jesus talking from John, and he knew that Abraham was rejoiceful in seeing Christ's day from coming. He saw it and was glad. Abraham understood that from him would eventually come the Messiah, and that Abraham would be the father of a great multitude of believers. So Abraham knew that things were coming for him to do. And he did a great job. He kept his faith, and that's something that we need to do. Let's look at Galatians 3, verse 8. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed," just like that we were told in Genesis. The life of Abraham takes up more space in the Old Testament than any other person. Abraham was a great man of God, and it would be very beneficial to us if we studied and lived the life of faith like Abraham did. And that's what God would want us to do also. So Abraham possessed great faith. Now, what does the Bible tell us about faith? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So here it talks about there at the end, so faith is the ability to see the unseen. And I'll go to another scripture that will help you understand this. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. And it says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. That means they're temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So, an example of an unseen would be, we never see God, but we know that he exists because of our faith. And faith is based on evidence and testimony. Okay, let's look at Romans 10:17. And it says, so faith comes from hearing, in hearing through the word of Christ. Now we should know that faith is not a blind leap in the dark. And that we should have, again, we should understand Romans 4:11-12 just tells us that we should have the faith that Abraham had again. We know that it took faith that Abraham and Sarah would have a son at their age, that promised son. Abraham was 86 years old when a son was born to him, Ishmael. And it was born by Hagar. And we know that, for those that don't know, Sarah was barren. She couldn't have kids. So she told Abraham that he could go ahead and sleep with Hagar. And she bore Ishmael. But as time went on, Abraham kept the faith. And Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. And Sarah was 90 kind of old, it sounds like, but it happened. And Sarah was able to have the baby at that range because she was barren, but God interceded for her. It took great faith to obey God when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And we all know the story, I would think, about Isaac. He was that promised son that Abraham and Sarah had. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, and this is coming from Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead. So Abraham's faith stood the test here. But you have to remember what happened here. Here we have God telling Abraham to offer him up. His only son. And starts off, and the thing was, Abraham didn't say a thing. There's nothing in Scripture that shows that he was talking to God. I said, why? He's the son you promised me. But in any case, so Abraham goes and brings firewood and fire and a knife and some other things to put on the altar. And then he's told by God to climb up this one mountain. And as he was climbing up with his son, Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's answer was, God will give. He will give us that sacrifice. And so they get up to the altar that's been prepares it, and then binds Isaac, lays him on that altar, has the knife, and gets ready to plunge it into him to kill him. And it doesn't happen, though, because an angel of God cries out, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Then it just goes on from there that he was tested. Abraham was tested what would happen. And, of course, we know that eventually there is a sacrifice up there. It's a ram that was stuck in a thicket. And that's what happened as far as Isaac is concerned. So Abraham did stand a test. And if we were in any situation like that, it'd be awfully difficult for us to do that too. So too many people, the problem is with our faith is that too many people let their faith fail them over lesser things and then what Abraham had to endure. We all need to possess the faith of Abraham at all times. And that won't be the last time I'll say that. We need to have the faith of Abraham. We know that Abraham was justified by his works. Let's look at James 2, verses 21 and 22. James 2, verses 21 and 22 says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. So what's being said here is that our faith and obedience are linked together. You cannot have one without the other. The belief that salvation comes by faith alone is not what the word tells us. So let's read James 2, verse 24. James 2, verse 24 says, "You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." So it was not Abraham's faith in God that made him acceptable, but it was his obedience that made him justified in the sight of God. Abraham obeyed God no matter what the cost was going to be. And many times there's a cost to be paid for obedience. And that's talking to us, again, with something we have to keep in mind. We know that Abraham was a friend of God. And three times we find it in the Bible. And I'll read three different things about about that. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "Do you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" So he says that Abraham is the friend of God. And then Isaiah 4, verse 18. "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, your friend." So that was another one. And then let's look at James 3, verse 23. "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." So, how can we become a friend of God? Well, we have to do his will. If we do his will be that friend. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then it goes on in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." And then James 4, verse 4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wished to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So basically, what that's telling us is that we need to watch what we are doing in our lives. We need to be very careful. So Abraham refused to get mixed up with the affairs of the world. But an example, when Lot was captured at his home in Sodom, Abraham went to his rescue. Abraham and his men defeated the enemy, but was not interested in taking any spoils. He was only interested in Lot. So here, that's an example where he wasn't after any spoils, which I'm sure there were quite a few they could get, but he was just interested in getting his relative out of trouble. So Abraham was determined to not be obligated to the enemies of God, and he would not be allies with those he should be separated from. So we need to remember to stay away from worldly and sinful affairs, if at all possible. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 15. And it says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? or what fellowship has light with darkness? So we must not get mixed up with the different problem or different cares of the world. We need to make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do, and that's to have faith and obey what God wants us to do. Now, one thing that we do learn from Abraham, he was not perfect, but he was very close to it. We find that in a moment of weakness, he kind of lied or did not tell the truth. And we know Abraham was one of the greatest men that ever lived, but there are two accounts in the Bible of him lying. Genesis 12. Here he told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister to protect himself. I guess you might call it a white lie, but a lie is a lie. And we also find in Genesis 20, Abraham told Abimelech that Sarah was his sister, again, to protect himself. Abraham was here sinned, but he got forgiveness. And then this is the last scripture reading, Romans 3:23. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, even the faithful will stumble." So, but don't use that as an excuse. Make sure that, again, that your faith is growing. So the last thing I have to tell you is that I pray that we will all look back and at the life that Abraham lived and how he was a friend of God, and that we can live a similar life. So thanks for your attention. And at this time, we will offer the invitation.